So we're excited. We have John Acuff here. So let's say I had the book out today.
All right, here's mine. Yay!
I also just literally finished Start today. So I had been listening to that one because a lot of the girls that I coach here at the Tribe, they are wanting to change their, not just change their weight, but it, a lot of times when they're changing their weight, they start noticing they want to just change their life totally.
Sure.
So a lot of times it comes up like, I want to leave my job. Like, I'm ready to embark on something amazing. And I also have a lot of women in the age group around their 50s. And so they're ready for the next phase of life. So it's not really cool. So I just, we're real informal here. We are not a real big like group who does formal stuff. So we can just kind of let loose and talk about whatever.
Great.
Do want to tell you though, they love your book. We have used it because perfectionism, like I was actually trying to figure, I had never heard of you before. And I know we live in the same town, but I was actually looking for something to address the idea of perfectionism because it is such a huge problem and with the overeating people. I mean, most of them, I would say self-identify that if they could get over perfect, they could lose their weight. You know, like they can't make a mistake. They, you know, just all the things. So I asked them for some questions and I got a few. So do you care if we kind of talk?
That'd be awesome. Yeah. No, I'm here to have fun with you and serve your audience in any way I can.
Yeah. And then at the end, I want you to explain to them the September, January thing.
Sure.
Because I just sent all of them a link to join it and explain how they can use it with what we're getting ready to do next month. Plus, until we talked the other day, I didn't even really understand that September was the new January. All right.
Yeah,
so they want to, go ahead.
No, go for your questions. Let's see what you got.
Do you need a defining moment to make a change you really want in your life? What are your thoughts on, do you have to have a defining moment or not?
I love if you do. Like, I'm a fan if you do. I never want you to wait for one. I think that, like, that gets right back into perfectionism. I'll give you an example. I know a woman who does a MLM. Like, she loves this MLM. It's great. I said, how'd you get started? She's crushing it. She said, well, my husband was in Afghanistan, and he's a Green Beret, and a lot of his troops were dying. And I said, I have to figure out a way to make enough money to bring him back home. That's an amazing story. Do you know how many people will have that story? About one. So she had a defining moment. That's great. But I don't want people to feel the pressure of a defining moment. I'm a big believer in kind of having a million defining moments. You know, I just talked to a man the other day who lost 60 pounds. And he said it was a number of things. He said at Christmas, my 9-year-old son said, Dad, like, no, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you could play Santa Claus because you have a big belly. And that was one of those, like, sometimes it's a little kid says, you know, a kid tells you something. But I don't believe in like one defining moment. I believe in a series of moments that will carry you throughout. The problem is we often think motivation, we think of it as a soulmate. Like, I'll have one defining moment. And I just don't believe in that. I believe you'll have 10, 15, 20, because at certain times of your journey, 10 of them won't show up. 10 of them won't matter. Like, you'll go, I don't even care about that. That was a stupid thing anyway. You're going to need those other three, those other four. The longer your list of motivation, the longer you'll actually work at it.
So, like, so I love the way you said 1 million defining moments. So, like, for my girls, like, and I always talk to the list over here. But one of the things you guys could really do with that is you could take, start thinking about during your daily life. So, we have our journals and stuff, and start identifying what were the little things today that could add up to the just a collection of your moments. So don't let them pass you by. Don't forget them. That's why we do our thought downloads. That's why we do our journaling. But that would be, that's a really neat way to look at it. Cause I think a lot of people are waiting for rock bottom, you know, like,
yeah,
I always, go ahead.
Well, and the problem is rock bottom, they say, you know, at least in certain groups say rock bottom has a trap door. And so, like, there's not, sometimes the moment you think is this is the moment, there's another moment and another moment. So I'd rather just say, like, I would rather all the people in your group have a list on their computer. And it's like, here's the 15 reasons I'm doing it. And some, again, some days fitting back into that pair of jeans, screw that pair of jeans. That pair of jeans is dumb anyway. I'm over it. But you're going to have, like, you're going to go down to the next one and be like, You know, though, I have somebody who holds me accountable and I can't quit my community. Or, hey, this one is, I'm in, you know, I love the way I feel in the morning when I know I've hit my goal the day before. And that's the, like, that's the one today. I'd rather you have that list. And the only way, you're right, the only way you build that list is if you remember the truth of your day. And the problem, like, here's a big thing. You and I have talked about this. This is in Finnish. You'll remember the previous time as easier than it really was because your emotions lie. So a big part of the reason you use a journal is it tells you the truth. And so the next time you work on it, you, when it feels hard and you're going to lie to yourself and go, losing weight was so much easier 2 years ago. It just all came off in like an hour. Your journal is going to go, whoa, whoa, hey, hey, let's remember how hard it was hard then. It's hard now. That's not failure. And so I love that you're encouraging people to do that.
Yeah. And guys, this also, so something else you said ties into a beautiful lesson. Like, we literally just got through talking extensively about what we call our compelling reason, which is kind of like these defining moments and stuff. But you had said, like, have your list of 15. A lot of my girls think, well, I'm going to come up with, basically the compelling reason is, this is my why. This is why I'm going to do it. Sure. And they think my why is going to make doing it easy. And right. It's like, and they always think, like, I tell them all the time, it's like, your compelling reason is going to change and it's not going to always be the same. So having a bunch so that, like you said, on the day where it's like, it's bullshit that I want those jeans. Today I want a donut worse.
Yeah.
Have something else. I never thought of that. I need to add it to my stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally believe in that. I mean, and sometimes a who is more powerful than a why. Sometimes your community is going to drag your lazy butt across the finish line in an awesome way. And that's okay. So I don't like throwing out stuff. I love keeping a lot of stuff. So I love that there's a why. I love that there's a compelling reason. I love that you're in community. I want you to have 50 different reasons it's going to work, not one special, like, this is my precious. Like, I think, because that's going to go away and it's going to change. I mean, think about it from my perspective. If my goal was to write a book, once I've done that, well, then what's the next thing? Like, why do I, you know, like, I need another goal. Like, what motivated me before, it's different now. And so you're always changing, you're always growing. So I believe in having a bunch of reasons.
Oh, so good. All right. So the next one is, what is your number one self-discovery and overcoming your own perfectionism?
I would say I'm in the middle of it right now. Okay. This is fresh. Like, I talked to my wife about it last night. I think a lot of my perfectionism stems from wanting people to like me, like wanting, especially strangers, like wanting everybody to like me. And I think, you know, an example of that is like how I, you know, curate my social media presence and wanting people outside my group to like me. And so, like, especially when you, I mean, you get people to sign up for stuff and there's a part where you're like, I believe it'll help people. I only share things I think will help people. Like, you'll never see me like, here's some rock climbing gear that I love. Like, I don't rock climb. Like, I only recommend things that I genuinely use. And so somebody the other day was mean about a calendar I have. And I got all upset about that. And I just thought, I don't need that person to like me. Like, I need to really, the way I kind of say it is like, stop trying to make people who hate you like you. Focus on making the people who like what you do love what you do. Yes. And realize that, like, don't define your value by strangers. And so I would say my perfectionism extends where, like, as a writer, as a creator, I'm like, there's a way I can create this where it won't receive any criticism. And that there's a perfect way I can tune this and I can kind of be like, I can be like, here's my calendar. Oh, I just happen to have it here. And what, like, and nobody's going to think it's salesy and everybody will like me. And so I'm right now, like, I don't feel done with that. Sometimes people say to me, when did you get over fear? And I don't think you get over it. I think you wrestle with it. You learn ways to deal with it. You do it anyway. Like, there's a lot of things I just do anyway. Like, where I feel really, like, I still feel nervous. I still feel uncomfortable, but the fear doesn't get a vote. Like, the shame doesn't get a vote. And so I try to, that's where my perfectionism is the loudest, though, is the opinion of other people. And here's what I love. There's a guy named Seth Godin. If y'all have never read Seth Godin, The Dip is one of my favorite books. I think it's super helpful. I think it applies to what you're working on. And he doesn't read reviews and he's not on Twitter. And he said it would be too much for me. And he's one of my heroes, genius, like, so far ahead in the field. And he says, you know what? Like, this thing isn't healthy for me. So I think part of getting over perfectionism is acknowledging with self-awareness, this thing isn't healthy and I'm not going to pretend it is. And I'm not even going to go there. So like maybe for you, you know, some of your, the people you work with, it's, there's somebody I keep comparing myself to and I never feel better. And so I'm just going to stop it. And that's what, like, that's okay. Like, and so, but my perfectionism, I think right now is about other people's opinions of me.
Well, I know you, you're, so I cuss, I'm just going to warn you, but we call it a zero shit tolerance in here for that kind of crap. I tell my girls all the time, it's like, you have to go through a phase of awareness. Like you have to learn what your crap is. And then once you learn it, you just have to quit indulging in it. Like we don't play in our dirty diapers anymore. Yeah. Like that doesn't work for me, but we never, like I don't know if this helps, but we never expect those thoughts to ever stop. We just expect ourselves to rise above them.
Yeah. And I think that's, the truth. The lie is I can get healthy enough where it won't bother me. And the truth is saying it bothers me. So I create borders and boundaries where I don't deal with that versus going someday I'll be mature and noble enough that I can receive it all. And it like, no, it's okay for you to go, this is nonsense. Guess what? I don't do, I don't deal in nonsense. Here's the border. If somebody else can handle it, good for you. You can handle like 100,000 people commenting on your personal life. That's great. It messes me up. So I have to be careful. I think that's the difference between the truth and kind of the lie.
That's why I quit answering fan email, because I would get like 100 people who love me and one that like one today didn't. And my assistant let me know about it. And I just told her, I said, you answer however you want. Like,
yeah. I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need that. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, you know, I don't know where we accepted that. I think part of it is that like somebody we admired was like, I respond to every email. And then we all started to believe like, that's how you serve people. You respond to everything. And it's just, I think that I like to say motivation is very personal. Progress is very personal. What works for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So you're right. You do that exercise of self-awareness and go, this is my stuff. And guess what? I deal with it this way. You do whatever you're doing. This is my stuff. And so I'm not going to deal with it. And I think that's super healthy.
Yeah. And I, you know, I also have something where I just feel like my tribe members deserve my time. They deserve me to be at my best and not be worrying about what other people think. So I'm worried about what Joe Blow, who just read my blog, thinks, then I'm not going to show up for the people who are relying on me to change their life. You know, they're like showing up every day saying, please bring me your best self so I can become my best self.
Well, and that's one of the things, just to jump off of that, one of the questions I get the most is people go, how do you say no to people? How do you say no to people?
That's one of the things on here.
Great. Well, so there's a couple different versions of that. There's the, they want you to do something for them. There's the, you're a photographer and they want a free photo, whatever. I always try to say, like you said, I have this group of people I serve. And in order to fully serve them, I have to say no to this. And I always say, like, if they react in anger, they just confirmed you're supposed to say no. Like, if they react in shame and try to guilt you into a yes, they just confirm, like, oh, you're a super no. Like, it was just a little no. Now I know it's a big no. And that, like, my favorite question, and I teach this all the time to entrepreneurs, is if somebody asks you to do something for free, you say three magic words back, which are, what's your budget? And it's magical because it doesn't shame them like, I deserve a lot of money. It asks them, it reminds them, oh, you're a pro. Like, okay, you're a stay-at-home mom. And somebody goes, hey, you're already home. Watch my kids. Like, that's not, I'm not running a daycare. Or you're a photographer, a hairdresser, or whatever. And you say, what's your budget? And if they say the budget is zero, you say, I have to honor my paying clients. I have to honor my tribe. Or if, a lot of times they'll come back with a budget bigger than you thought because they were just trying to fish and go, hey, let's see if they'll do it for free. And then you go, well, actually, this is weird. I don't like, I volunteer with Thistle Farms and organizations like this, but I can't with you. And so I think saying no is hard because I'm not good at that. When somebody says to me, what's the worst they could say? No. Like, and you go, yeah, that's the worst. Like confrontation. Like, I have to bring my car back into the shop because they didn't fix something right. And I'm already like, ugh, but I'm going to do it because they didn't fix it right. And I'm going to be polite about it. But I'm not saying it's easy for me, but and then the other thing I'd say about no is get yourself a no buddy. Somebody in your circle friggin' loves no. Like they eat up no's like Pac-Man. Like hang out with that girl. Like that's your girl. And so like, yeah, get a no buddy that'll go, oh, you don't know what to do? I'm going to tell you, say no. Like yeah. quickly. I love a fast no and a slow yes.
Yeah, I'm a good nobody for anyone yep. who needs one. They all know it. Like, we've got a couple of girls in here that are coaches, and I'm always like, that's a no in their yeah. personal life. I'm yeah. like, I don't even yeah. know why you're thinking. This is what I will yep. say. You know? Yep. So, yep. Yeah, yep. I think it's important, because I will say one of the things that that I did want to ask is, we have – that ties into perfectionism and stuff is – our girls tend to be big time people pleasers. Like, it's kind of what you've been talking about, like the fear of what other people think, that all ties in yeah. together. And so they do have a hard time saying no to people. And there, let me see, how did I write it? You have something in here where you talk about you have to be willing to bomb at something in order yeah. to do something really well. And weight loss for them very often means they're going to bomb on like their kids and their husbands. Like, that's how they associate it. I'm not saying that's how it has to happen, but sure. there, I was at a Kentucky meetup this weekend with a bunch of girls from Kentucky. And one of the ladies said, you know, like, I'm just there 110% for my kids and blah, blah, blah. And I put myself last. And it's because she doesn't want to say no. Do you have any advice for moms and women, and I know that's probably not your.
No, but I would 70% of my 70% of my audience is female. So like 70% of the people that read my books, 70% of the people that come to my events. So I guess right out of the gate, I'd say it's interesting to me. And I think maybe we talked about this, that mom shame is a phrase and dad shame isn't. Dad shame isn't even a phrase in our culture. Mom right. shame is because moms will go on Instagram and instantly feel bad. And there's some mom that's got a 4-course meal prepared every night and with like deconstructed mac and cheese with like a Gouda demi glaze. And like, you're making that sad bowl of Easy Mac for your kid and you don't even stir it all the way. And the kid's like, it tastes powdery. And you're like, yeah, life is hard. And so, but like dads as a default, we think we're amazing. Like our default is like, I'm awesome. Like dad will be like, yeah, my kid got a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. Like I'm a pretty good dad.
That's so, my husband.
Yeah. So I think that, so when I do get to talk to women about that, I think there's a couple of things. One, you have to connect the work you're doing to the people it's serving. Like your family is better served by a healthy you. Like there's a connection there. An unhealthy you doesn't do them any favors. The other thing I think you have to be really careful about is giving yourself permission to change and permission to work on you. Like it's not you saying like, cause what we're talking about isn't moms going, I need a 17-day silent retreat. We're talking about, I need 30 minutes to do this exercise, or I need 15 minutes to get encouraged in this group. I think often we think we only have two options. We either go all in on our kids 110% and ignore our health, or we do our health and ignore our kids. I think what you're teaching is there's so much room between there. Like there's right. so much there. And that, again, that gets back to perfectionism of like, I'm either going to do it perfectly and ruin my kids or do my kids perfectly and ruin my health. And I just don't believe that those are your two choices. I think yeah. there's so much room between there. And here's what I'd say too. A mom that is saying, I would do this, but I want to make sure I serve my family is, you know who doesn't say that? Moms who aren't serving their families. If you're already asking that question, you're already in a really healthy place. Like you already care about that. It's the same when somebody writes a book and doesn't want to sell it, they go, I don't want to become too over promotional. I always say, do you know who doesn't say that? People who are over promotional. You're already in a good place. So if you as a mom are going, I love my spouse, I love my family, I don't want to ignore them, it would take you 1,000 steps to become the mom that you don't want to be. Like, it's right. not like overnight you do one workout and your husband's like, were her eyes brown or blue? It's been so long since I saw her face. Like, and your kids are going to go. And then the other thing I'd say, parenting and childhood has seasons. And so you need to be really honest about looking at somebody else's life and understanding what season they're in versus your season. So right. when I had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old that were running to the door when I got home, that was a different season. And my wife would be like, here, we got to deal with this. And they're roaming around trying to get stitches constantly. I now have 2 teenagers. And so today I did a video about this. At 5 o'clock, neither one of them were home. One was at band practice, one was at lacrosse, and I'm in a different season of life. So I would never say to a mom that has 4 kids that are under the age of 6, like, well, just get it together, get a different planner. Like, right. what do you, I would say, you might be in a season right now where you have this much time, but over time, as you're deliberate and your kids grow up, you'll have more time to grow. I tell moms all the time that hustle has seasons, because I'll meet moms that say, I've got, you know, I'm not building my dream or my health fast enough. And I'll say, well, tell me about your family. And they'll say, I have two twins under the age of three and a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. And I'll go, what do you mean you're not building a dream? Like raising humans, like when did that stop being something that counted? And so I always try to get people to see I'm in a season. I can find time. It's not an either or. Either I'm a present mom all the time and I ignore my health, or I'm a healthy mom and I forget if it's boys or girls I have.
We do a technique where we do a lot of questions and stuff. And one of the things that I want my girls to think about is if you weren't going to, like you use it, you call it like the noble obstacle. It's like, if you weren't going to use your kids an excuse, what's the easiest way you'd be losing weight right now? Mm-hmm. You know, and it really gets your mind directed into the direction of, you know, maybe I teach a course and I always tell them like, you guys don't even need to do all these things. If y'all did like 20 or 30% of the shit I teach you, you'd lose weight.
Oh, you'd be amazing. Be so like, you know, Finish says 92% of all goals fail. If you do 10%, you're wildly different. Like you're so much further, you know, if you never write and one day you say, I'm going to write 100 words a day, that is exponentially different from never writing. So yeah, I love that you have a ton of vocabulary, a ton of practical things. I mean, everything we talk about, I love that you go, we have this system, we have these questions. I think that's super helpful, because then it's not just we're getting together so we can feel good. It's okay, we're inspiring each other and motivating each other, but we have tactical things that on a Tuesday when you only have 15 minutes, like you're going to be okay. And here's why.
Yes. It's just important. I think you got to have a lot of tools in your tool belt if you're ever going to build something.
Yeah. You can't just have one hammer, like one huge hammer.
The last question that I want to ask you, and then we'll talk about September, January. Sure. What's the best way to get out of a funk?
Best way to get out of funk.
Number one question all the time. I'm like, yeah. I can't believe y'all asked this. I talk to this about all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to say that, because there'll be seasons that I go through it. Sometimes I have to say, is this a season that tends to be funky for me in general? Like I know I write better in the fall and the winter. That's how I'm wired. Like I have a hard time writing books in July, because like I'm thinking about vacation, I'm thinking about the pool. Like it's not my best time. So like I can fight that and pretend I'll magically turn July into the fall. Or I can say, wait a second, I have 42 years of evidence that I'm dope in the fall and I have a hard time in July. Let me plan for that. But I better not plan any massive projects in July. Like maybe that's a maintenance month, and then I kick things back off. Like, so I have to say, am I in a funk month? Like, can I be honest with myself? Two, community. Like I love to have somebody who can tell me, yeah, you are in a funk, or no, you're not. That's your emotions lying to you. Look at these three things you're doing consistently. Like you might feel like you're in a funk, but on the outside, based on the progress you're making, you're not in a funk. Three, what's the cause of the funk? Is there like something else that, you know, if you're in a funk with your health, is there actually something else that's really causing you a problem, but you're focusing on your health to try to ignore it? Like maybe it's like, we need to go to counseling. Like me and my husband need to go to counseling, but it's easier to go, I'm in a funk with my health, and ignore this like inferno burning down the house. And so you go, okay, I'm going to focus on this. So like, is it really, are you focusing on the right funk, I guess is how I'd phrase that. And then I'm a big believer in like little small wins. I know we've talked about that before. So a small win is like, I went outside and I walked around the block three times. Like it's insane what a little bit of progress will do to make you feel better. And to make you say, okay. And then a good phrase, like I should have this as a tattoo, is that a funk isn't forever. Like the number one lie a funk tells you is this is your new reality. This is forever. So I would, you know, like you should put that on a post-it note that says a funk isn't forever and a funk isn't failure. That if you start to see a funk as part of the season, you go, all right, like I'm not a complete loser. Like that's where it turns into a season of it. And you're just like, oh, I'm the worst. And if you say, I would say eliminate the phrase might as well from your vocabulary.
I wrote that down. It was one of the things I wanted to say.
There you go. See, this is why we're in the same town. Because you know what happens with perfectionism. I ate a French fry. I might as well eat 1,000. And you're like, well, I don't know if those, like, that seems like a pretty big jump. Or like, I had like a glass of wine. I might as well have a box because you can't measure. Like the biggest lie of the box of wine is like it's similar to a bottle. But then you look at the side of the box and it's like, homie, we are like 9 bottles in here. And you can't tell and it's not see-through. So you're like, just right. a little more, just a little more. Like it doesn't end well. So those are that's my funk advice.
We call like your might as well. We call them poison thoughts. Yep. It's like those little things we say that are just absolutely like drinking poison for your brain. And so we try to identify those. So that was really good. All right. So tell them about September, January. Cause I was just fascinated. I was like, oh my God, really? September is like the new January. It was like, how did I not know this?
Yeah. So, I mean, I first bumped into it. I worked in retail for years. I was with Bose and Staples and Home Depot. And we knew, and part of what's fun about that is these companies would spend tens of millions of dollars to try to talk to people. And I'm a big believer, like I tell you, I tell anybody that asks this, if you're trying to build a tribe, if you're trying to write a book, you're trying to do whatever, find an ad and then deconstruct it. To create that ad that speaks. So for you, I'd say, figure out the women you're trying to really help and then go see who's talking to them and see what they're talking to them about. Because they spent $1 million to figure that out. And you can kind of deconstruct it and go, okay, it's really about space. They're trying to say, like Home Depot, it would be turn your, you know, your kitchen, or Home Depot would be turn your bathroom into a sanctuary. Okay, so they must have understood and done a long research study that women feel overwhelmed and, you know, there's this big thing. And so I learned in retail, September's this big moment because the entire culture of America goes back to school. And so it's back to school ads, the stores are different, the commercials are different, all this change momentum, we're doing something new, it's fresh, it's different, is going on. It's like this huge tidal wave of change. And so my goal is to help people see that and then jump on their, you know, their own surfboard and ride that and ride the momentum of that. And so as everybody goes back to school, you say, okay, just because I'm an adult, like where does it say, like, that's what's weird about being an adult. You go through this season of, like, when you're a kid, you have back to school and fall break and Christmas. There's all these very helpful moments to tell you, da-da-da-da, here comes a change, get ready to change. You go through an adult, you get, like, tax season, which sucks. And then you're like, there it is, like, enjoy the rest of your life. And then you die and get a watch. And so I think it's really special to say, okay, I'm going to take advantage of this momentum that I didn't even have to generate. But my family's already into it. I mean, think about the people watching this that are like, dang it, no doubt. Like my kids are like, our whole house has that buzz. Get on in that buzz. Like the buzz isn't just for your kids. So that's why for the first time, and I've done a million challenges where I'd say, we're going to hustle on this, we're going to do this. But I'd never done one that was like, wait a second. They're always January. And I love January and I'm going to do stuff in January. But let me deliberately say, okay, you're back from vacation. Like you're back. Like we even have Labor Day to go, guess what? Labor Day, and now it's time to start. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to invite everybody I can and say, let me provide kind of a solid month of, I dare you to change. And I dare you to use the momentum that already exists. That was a long answer.
You all got it. You got the invite today. So send it, just forward the email to your friends and that'll be the best way to get out or share it on your social. You guys can share it on your public pages and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And let people awesome. Know about it. Cause I really think it's important. Like, well, of course we're a community obviously, but I think as many little like things that you can do like this that get you involved with another group or another like avenue is just so helpful. I just believe it. When I first started PNP, the reason why I even started it was because I knew that people were talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if they all got together, they'd do it better.
Yeah, 100%. And here's, I mean, my version of that, like sometimes people will tell me, cause I've started to really get active on LinkedIn. They're like, why do you connect to so many people on LinkedIn? And I would say, I've never seen a situation where knowing more people was a bad thing. Like I've never had a situation where it's like, oh, I know too many helpful people. Like, I love being connected. The second thing I'd say is that's a big part of the reason I wanted to do this. Like we had a phone call and I was like, oh my gosh, like she's doing so many amazing things. Like, what did I say to you at the end of the call? I was like, hey, can I have me and a couple members of my team come take you to lunch and just listen and grow? So I say that one, because I get to learn, but two, I hope the people watching know, like, this isn't common. Like, this is special. the language, the hope, the effort, like it's really amazing. And so I'm not just saying that because I'm on video with you. I'm saying that because I asked you personally, like, hey, after it's all said and done, can I come learn? Like, cause this is amazing. I want to do it. So that's a thrill for me. And I love that you're saying, hey, go check out what he's doing. I'm honored that I get to do this.
Well, we really appreciate it. My girls are so special. We have a very special community. So if you see them on, I don't know where you're at in social. I know you don't do much Facebook. They're always on the Facebook, but I'll make them find you.
Okay, great.
If they're hashtagging PNP tribe, just know that that's people who are determined to change their life. Like that's who we have. So this has been wonderful. I really appreciate you coming. It was so good. And yeah, hit me up for lunch. I'd love to share anything I know that I'm doing that will help.
No, and especially for me. So I'm a public speaker, and somebody the other day, that can mean any time in your life. It was probably like 6 months ago. He said, you know, public speaking, we're at an event in Chicago. And he said, you know, public speaking is a lonely business. And it just hit me like, I need to create a community because it is a weird, lonely thing. And so I'm so inspired by hearing you go, I knew people were doing it, and if we all got together, we could do it even better. Because there's things that have taken me 10 years to learn that I could share with somebody else. So I'm that inspires me to go, okay, I want to – and same with, like, my corner of the, like, change world. Like, I want to help people do that. And, my big thing is, I love the moment where I get to help somebody become who they are. Like, that's really fun. And people have been talking about my bookshelves. I'm going to turn this. It's a little messy in here. I apologize. There's a shelf, right? So next to the empty one, that shelf is books people have written after reading Finish. So they finished their book actually and sent it to me. And like, that's my favorite shelf in the whole place. Like, because I get these notes and they send me invitations to their graduations. They go, I finished my doctorate. So like, it's all these things that people are right on the edge of doing, but they've been on the edge for 6 years or 5 years.
Yes.
And I know you get to hear the same stories, and that to me is just so much fun.
It's amazing. I mean, it's like every day I go in there and somebody has like lost the weight they've always dreamed of. And I'm like, holy shit, how did this happen? Yeah. Like I struggled with my weight all my life and now this is happening, you know,
it's unbelievable. And so that's, I don't know, it's fun. So when I connected with you, I was like, all right, one, I'm totally doing this. I want to go have lunch. I want to do the podcast. Like I was basically like, I'm in. And even awesome. More so this conversation, because I swear I do a bunch of these and I don't have as like rarely do I have somebody that goes, oh, that thing you just said, we have a system. That thing you just said, we have a phrase. Like, that's awesome. Like I have so many questions for you at lunch. I'll save them for lunch. But
okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'll let you go. And then, I'll email you and, let me close out with them and give them their last little bit of Queenie. So
great.
Thank you
so All much. Right. Thanks so much.
Bye. Ladies. That was so awesome. Oh my gosh. Like I'm sweating. It's so good. I just wanted to just let you guys know that, it was just such an honor for me to be able to bring someone on like that for us. I'm really looking for more people who can just share what they know and just keep changing our lives, you know? Well, I'm gonna have to get off here because I'm emotional today. So anyway, y'all have a good one and I'll see y'all in the morning. I'll be live in the morning to talk about thought downloads and story versus fact. Okay. Bye y'all.